You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, A Joy That Cannot Be Taken Away. Now, here is Dr. Schultz.
Towering nearly 600 feet above the city of Birmingham, Alabama, taller than Niagara Falls and higher than the Washington Monument, stands the world's largest statue of Vulcan, the mythological god of fire and the patron of metalworkers. This imposing statue, cast out of 60 tons of iron, is indeed impressive to tourists visiting Birmingham. It is unusual and even spectacular. However, it is certainly neither the first nor the most famous man-made god fabricated from metal. In the Bible, in the book of Judges chapter 17, we read about a man from the hill country of Ephraim. This young man named Micah gave his mother 1,100 pieces of silver, which in turn she gave to the silversmith. This metal maker then created from these silver pieces a graven image, a metal god. Micah then placed this image in his house to serve as his god, for in those days, the Bible says, every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that's not all. The Bible further mentions that Micah consecrated a Levite who lived in his house and became his priest. Micah then said, "Now I know that the Lord will prosper me, seeing that I have a Levite as a priest." Now it may seem most unusual to many of us today to hear about a man who, in great sincerity, created his own God and consecrated his own priest. But again, all this took place because in those days, the Bible tells us, every man did what was right in his own eyes. In their search for religion, no one was following the Bible, the Word of God. They were simply doing what they thought was right based on their emotions. But this is also what is happening in our day. Endless news articles report that there is now a great spiritual search going on throughout the United States, Canada, the Caribbean, and many other countries. However, just like in Micah's day, in the Bible, people are not guiding their search for God and for religion by the pages of the Bible, because today, as in Micah's day, many people are also doing what is right in their own eyes. They are seeking faith and religion and spirituality in whatever way they desire. One major secular magazine described the current quest for religion by stating, "This search is taking countless shapes, from the thousands of computer hackers who log onto CompuServe's New Age Forum to the crowds that last year packed conference halls to hear special speakers holding forth on Buddhism, meditation, visualization, and the rites of an ancient Hawaiian religion called Huna." One U.S. journalist writes, "The signs of spiritual search are everywhere, in gift shops, in music and bookstores, and even at bazaars and county fairs." A former professor at Toronto, Canada's York University explains, "People in the merchandising business now say that spirituality is more than a religious word. Spirituality is also a money word, a buzzword for the 90s, because if you want to sell something nowadays, no matter what it is, you better say that it is spiritual." And so then we ask the inevitable question, what is behind this current drive for spirituality? And maybe we need to listen carefully to one woman who had aspired to become a minister in the United Church of Canada. She explains it this way. She says, "Spirituality today is so much more than anything that can be confined to any one religion or belief system." Now, let's be honest. This type of talk surely raises a red flag. One does not need to be a biblical scholar to quickly sense that a search for spirituality that is not confined to any particular belief system clashes directly with the basic Christian faith as it is revealed completely and fully in Jesus Christ and as it is explained fully in the Bible. Understandably, of course, there may be some who are hesitant to call the teachings of the Bible a belief system. However, God has indeed revealed himself not in a haphazard way, but in a planned way. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we read, "After God spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, God has spoken to us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ." Oh, indeed, throughout history, God has revealed himself in a way that he has designed, and in a way that he has planned, and in a way that is complete. In his Word, God has revealed everything that you and I need to know to lead us to repentance and to faith, and to draw us out of despair of our sin and into the saving and forgiving arms of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. God's gracious plan is obvious, especially in the preaching and teaching of the first followers of Christ, the apostles. Whenever these apostles proclaimed the faith, they made constant reference of how God has graciously revealed himself throughout history. And for this reason alone, there is no need for you to search and to search for meaning in mysticism or in the New Age movement or in Far Eastern religions. Your search, my friend, can be over at this very hour. You see, throughout history, God has already revealed himself through his Word, given through the prophets. God's revelation peaked. Yes, it reached its highest point and most complete form when God sent his Son Jesus to be born in Bethlehem and to die on the cross and to be raised again from the dead on the third day. For this reason, then, with great joy, we read in the Bible in Matthew chapter 1 that when Jesus was about to be born, the angel announced, "You shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins." In his grace and mercy, God has indeed revealed his love to us in spite of our sin. And he also warns in his Word that he will tolerate no one who finds and follows false gods. In the book of Acts, we read, where in Moses' day the people became disillusioned. They became dissatisfied. And so they said to Aaron, "Make for us gods who will go before us." So then, the Bible explains, Aaron and his helpers then made a golden calf and brought sacrifices to this idol. These devil-deceived people were, the Bible explains, rejoicing in the works of their hands. But then, the Bible says, God turned away from them and because of their idolatry delivered them to their own destruction. The lesson from the Bible for you in 1997 is crystal clear. Don't make the same terrible, tragic, and soul-destroying mistake of the people in Moses' day. Don't be like Micah. Don't be like Micah, who placed a silver image in his home to serve as his God, simply because everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. Of course, you may laugh and say that this could never happen to you. Be careful, however. The devil is very clever. Canada's Maclean's magazine recently interviewed a businessman. He's 48 years old, he's an accountant, and he confessed it this way. "If you would have told me 5 years ago that I would be following the New Age movement, I would have been astonished." And so then we ask a second time, why? Why are so many people by the thousands, jumping on board this new search for spirituality and for new gods? The excuse is always the same. And you have probably heard the alibi just like I have. It's always the same. The excuse was stated also by a psychic who recently explained, whether in science or in medicine, gradually Western society has come to see it is based on an incomplete belief system. Incomplete. That's what she said. Incomplete. Our response to this foolishness is this. Hogwash. God's revelation in Jesus Christ is total, and it is complete, and it is final. Following his resurrection from the dead and before he ascended into heaven, Jesus spoke directly concerning the completeness of the scriptures and the faith set forth in the Bible. Meeting with his followers in a closed upper room, Jesus said, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Our Savior beautifully explained it all, simply and clearly, so that the average man on the street can understand it. Indeed, the Bible certainly contains ageless poetry, unsurpassable wisdom, unique insights, and reliable history. However, the most important thing, yes, the most important thing that the Bible does is this. In His holy Word, God points you and me to Jesus Christ. The faith of the Bible focusing on Jesus Christ is absolutely complete in every sense. Therefore, in your days of difficulties, know for sure that Jesus upholds you. And in your days of discouragement, know that Jesus strengthens you. In your days of doubt, know that Jesus reassures you. In your days of guilt, know that Jesus forgives you. And in your days of disillusionment, know that Jesus reaffirms you. Shortly before his departure from his disciples and his ascension into heaven, Jesus said, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and be raised again from the dead on the third day, and that in his name repentance and forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed unto all nations." How indeed the focus of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ, and the central thrust of all of Christ's teachings is repentance and forgiveness, law and gospel. This message is not some vague concept of religion. Christ's message is not limited to theologians. Jesus' message of repentance and forgiveness is for you, my friend, no matter who you are. Maybe you are a store clerk, or a student, or a farmer, or a factory worker. Perhaps you sell insurance, or maybe you do plumbing, or perhaps you work as a medical doctor doing surgery. No matter who you are, Jesus Christ's message, filled with grace and overflowing with love, is simple and direct. Even though you are a sinner, and even though you may have failed many, many times in the past, God loves you with a perfect love, and in this love, God has paid the price to buy you back. The innocent blood of his only Son, Jesus, shed on Calvary's cross, has paid the complete price for your sin. And so then, my friend, look at your life. Yes, examine your life. And acknowledge your mistakes and failures to your gracious God. Don't try to make amends and to please God with your acts of piety or religiosity. Instead, in simple faith, cling tightly to Jesus. Rest your hope for this life and for eternity in the words the angel spoke to Joseph just before Jesus was born. "You shall call his name Jesus," the angel said, "for it is he who will save his people from their sins." Oh, dear friend, it will not be the New Age religion. No, it will not be gurus from India, and it will not be self-serving tele-evangelists who will save you from your sin. It is as the Bible states, Jesus Christ has redeemed you. Because, you see, when Jesus suffered and died on the bloody cross, then God the Father saw the suffering of his only Son, and his wrath was satisfied. The penalty that you should have paid for your sins, Christ has already paid. In Christ, your sins are now forgiven. Oh, please don't pass up this wonderful invitation of being friends again with God through Jesus Christ. Salvation for you is here, and God wants to give his full blessing to you through his gift of faith. Therefore, confess your sins to God today. Launch forth into a new life. Turn away from any and all false gods, and don't do like Micah did. No, don't fall into the temptation of doing what is right in your own eyes. But instead, as you by faith see Jesus Christ as the center of God's living word, let your conscience be unburdened, let your heart be given new hope, and let your soul be filled with joy forever. O Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, let this be true in many hearts today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.